finding the morning papers is hard to find in the magazine. It doesn't matter what show you tune in, it's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stapmiller. We'll be live with you on this 12th day of January 2006 for the next 2 hours out of the studios of Republic Broadcasting Network. And it's Thursday, and today we have Ed Waller on. And we generally rotate these two gentlemen in. Ed will do a program 1 week. His partner will do John Ainsworth. He'll do an alternate Thursday. And we appreciate you dropping in for today's program. Are you with us, Mr. Is he here?
I'm here.
Oh, there he is, Ed Waller.
Howdy-ho.
Howdy-ho. How you doing?
Pretty good.
What is on the agenda for today?
Well, John and I got to talk Tuesday night. He actually came up to our meeting up here. And there appears to be some general misunderstanding about the direction that we're taking in the book and in general trying to communicate. You know, I'm definitely on John's team, as you know, regarding what happened in the Civil War, Reconstruction, etc. The two researchers and legal scholars I'm involved with in this book have really expanded it far beyond that, because since the Civil War, we've had yet another major change in the foundation of law in our nation. And that was in 1933, the New Deal, when our republic was replaced by a legislative democracy. So until people can understand, you know, we had 1776, we threw off the king, we got the Constitution, 1789, we threw off the Articles of Confederation. Well, then we got the Constitution. 1861 through 68, we threw off the Union of the Several States and traded it in for something else run by the feds, what we call in the book the New Union. And in 1933, we added to that as a principal form of government, known as the composite state, a legislative democracy run by Congress. And then, of course, the question is, well, that's got to be unconstitutional, too. Well, it depends. If the people, perceived to be the sovereigns in this land, contract with it and engage in commerce and make it real, it's as real as can be. When you go into court, if you don't understand what's happening, you're going into that place, that legislative democracy. They're treating you, if you have a Social Security number and driver's license and your kids go to public school and know those, all those other forms of conduct, they're treating you as one of their citizens, a citizen of the United States. So, the book is, in its essence, a primer on the entire landscape of citizenship, status, your capacity, the role you play with respect to this legislative democracy or composite state, versus your ability to act as a citizen of the several states with all your rights intact.
Well, when we get back out of the break, I want you to go through how exactly they've set up this legislative democracy and what actually changed the way they do business, I guess you could put it.
Be happy to, John.
In Washington, D.C. We'll do that with Ed Waller right after this break.
Mm-hmm. The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions, and there are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. One more time. That's 866-885-6625.
As a listener of this network, you know that we bring you the news and analysis that you just won't get from the corporate-dominated media outlets in this country. As an educated citizen, you also know that freedom itself is not free, but requires constant vigilance and sacrifice. A radio network such as Republic Broadcasting Network, a rare commodity indeed, also cannot survive on good intentions alone. So the next time you think about going down to the local superstore or electronics store, stop, get online first, and visit RepublicTradingPost.com. We have thousands of items at very competitive prices, and every dollar you spend with us will be invested back into RBN, so that we may continue to bring you the news and information the public so desperately needs. RepublicTradingPost.com, the store that invests its profits in your freedom.
Ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
We are back. Ed Waller is with us today. And before the break, I'd ask you, Ed, to run through how we got to this legislative democracy. And if that is the change that they affected, I don't know exactly, and explain, if you will, how that came out of the New Deal, what happened around that. So go ahead, Ed.
Well, there was a concerted, documented effort to change this nation into a more socialistic environment. It wasn't until probably 5 years ago in my research that I could never understand why people like Ted Turner or, you know, the rich and famous and powerful that we know seem to espouse such socialistic concepts and opinions. And, of course, socialism is nothing more than servicing the greedy by way of taking from the – servicing the rich and powerful greed by way of taking away from the weak and poor. So there was a concerted effort to turn this nation into a socialistic environment. But, of course, they knew that people wouldn't just go, hey, yeah, let's sign up for that. You know, where do I sign up? So Roosevelt knew he needed some help on the Supreme Court. They were starting to strike down a lot of his New Deal provisions. And you remember the old court packing controversy. Well, the Supreme Court was in a pickle. If they didn't give him some of what he wanted, they knew they'd be packed. And they viewed that as a much more destructive situation to our country than just kind of nibbling around the edges of what he needed. So in a period of a couple months in 1937, what we call the switch in time cases, and that's because that's what the legal scholars also call it, the Supreme Court redefined the Commerce Clause in the case of National Labor Relations Board versus Jones and Laughlin Steel. The issue was minimum wage legislation, state minimum wage legislation. And up through 1935, in a famous case, the Supreme Court had ruled the feds, certainly, and even the states, don't have a right to tell companies what they have to pay their employees. They considered that trespassing on private contracting. And, you know, of course, these were some rough times. Employment was down. People were starving. The court even noted that while it was an admirable effort to try and make sure people had a living wage, it wasn't within the purview of government. Well, by 1937, 2 years later, in this National Labor Relations Board case, they said, yeah, the federal power of commerce, to regulate commerce, goes not just down to the gates of Jones and Laughlin. It goes right to the contract with the employees, et cetera, et cetera. Well, you know, that's 140 years, 160 years of stare decisis overturned in 18 months from a previous ruling. They needed that as a key component of getting the federal power and the ability to regulate down into the states. A similar case redefined the welfare clause in the Constitution. That the Social Security system, the taxes collected are now based on the general welfare clause, not on the two taxing clauses within the Constitution. Okay, and for 160 years, the Supreme Court has said the general welfare is the general welfare of the government. You know, it has the ability to preserve itself and balance its three branches of government and all that. Suddenly, the welfare clause meant to take care of every citizen down at the state level, which was huge. I mean, where'd this come from? The court gave them this. But in losing the battle to Roosevelt, they attempted to win the war. What they attempted to do was say, all right, if you want a contract with the government through this Social Security program, you can come in as a U.S. citizen, which is this newly created legislative democracy under the total control of Congress, in essence. And of course, it was also corporate, and we've got some cases we point in there that show that the United States government, as opposed to the United States of America, is a corporate democracy for all intents and purposes, operating under municipal local law. So through these meanderings, reinterpretations, some might call them usurpations by the Supreme Court, Roosevelt got enough of his New Deal concepts in to basically move everybody to District of Columbia, redefine them under this new citizenship, all predicated, of course, on the purported 14th Amendment. Without the 14th Amendment, they would have had a very hard time getting that. And what we're basically espousing and telling people in the book is, you can go do that. You have that right to contract. You also have the right to stay a United States, a citizen of the several states of the Union. And we go through all the case law on what the differences are and how the courts have treated that, and maintain all your rights. You don't have to go contract. There's no obligation to enter into legal relations with the United States government. And so what we're trying to do is lay the foundation for people, because I get a lot of emails from people saying, where's the case law? Where is it in the statutes that the government will allow me to be a state citizen and have my rights back? Which is kind of like the chicken and the egg problem. You know, they could never take it away from you. You gave it to them. And we do show in the case law where there's a difference and why they have that right. So as I've been arguing now for several months with the benefit of all this additional research and knowledge, I don't have a problem with what that system is doing because it doesn't apply to me. I've simply stepped out. And once people get that knowledge, that's what we hope they do too.
Well, and you and I have discussed this many times, that who authorized the switching of the way that we do business in this country?
Nobody. It was done through defeat usurpations and reinterpretation of settled case law.
So if one were to approach the United States Supreme Court and say to them that, look, we want to jump in Mr. Sherman's Wayback Machine here, and we want to go prior to 1933, is there any merit that a case could be presented to the United States Supreme Court to reverse what they've done in 1933?
Well, that's an interesting question, John, because on your network, I called into one of your shows one day because there was a big-time civil rights lawyer who does, you know, practices at The Hague and sues the U.S. government all the time, and she stated emphatically that there is no way the Supreme Court will hear this case and certainly not reverse everything. I've had me and the other two authors have had numerous conversations with very, very high-power attorneys who say, you know, you'll never get the Supreme Court to fix this because to do so is to admit the lie. So, but it's really not necessary. And I know you won't believe this until you can get your arms around this. If the American people, the true sovereigns of this land, want to go back to being state citizens, if they'll do it one at a time to create an en masse movement, the democracy will fold under its own weight. It has to, because it's relying on your Social Security contributions, your income taxes, to make the whole thing work. You know, it's so simple. Just say no. Now that we know the truth, we're not going to have our babies register for Social Security. We don't have to do this income tax thing because the income tax came in under Social Security, believe it or not. It's just simply another income tax. You can have your life back, but you've got to be knowledgeable. You've got to be informed about this information, because otherwise you get into court, you get into a confrontation with these people, and you'll be bamboozled.
Yeah, I mean, the common person, Ed, I mean, if they really think this one through, how is it that they have to pay the tax collectors in Washington, D.C., through the income tax?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that they have to make a Social Security contribution? Why is it that they're having money taken out of their check, whether it's a shared payment system through the company or corporation they're working for? People never stop to think how these deductions come about. They just look at their check and go, oh, that's what the government hit me on taxes. Well, folks, that's your money. The government didn't roll up their sleeves and send a man down from Washington, D.C. to help you do your job. He didn't contribute in any of your labors. Therefore, why should he benefit in any of your compensation?
Well, see, there's the part that people are not going to have an easy time accepting. The reason they take your money, the reason you owe it, is because you went down, or your parents, down to the Social Security office and signed a contract. You said, I want the benefits. And as part of the benefits, when you accept benefits, there's duties and responsibilities. So you did it to yourself through ignorance, deceit, and all that other stuff, and you have the absolute unqualified right to go, not me anymore, I'm stepping out. Now, the problem is how do you bank? How do you... You know, I've got a lot of people I'm talking to who have commercial driver's licenses. What do I do if I get rid of my license, tags in my car? All these issues come up. Well, that's why it's going to take some numbers. You know, some of us are brave enough to go into court and fight it individually. But the bottom line is, as soon as the people say, hey, I want to be able to work without all this crap, I've learned the truth, you can't force me, I'm not going to be a pawn or a fool anymore, I'm going to do this. Enough people do it, or if you create your own state like we're doing here, I'm headed up to D.C. shortly. I'm going to meet with Social Security and Department of State. I'm going to ask them point blank, do you still have passports, and in the case of Social Security, do you have a way for people to work in this country without the number or with an exempt number? And if they say no, I want to get it in writing, because that means they no longer represent the citizens of the several states of America, in which point our state, you know, we have a republic out here that's been around since 1997 that now issues tags and is taking over more and more of the roles and responsibilities that a proper state should. We will have that state issue our travel papers, and we will have that state issue a number, which is exempt, that allow you to bank.
Sounds like a plan. We'll discuss more of this right after this break with my guest today, Ed Waller. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you desire your health and vitality to be in harmony with the rhythms of nature? Trivortex technology features subtle energy products that boost energy levels, relieve pain and stress, and much more at very affordable prices. You have the opportunity to wear vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that absorb through your skin rather than taking them orally. This is real, not science fiction. Go to trivortex.com, that is TRIVORTEX.com, to open a whole new realm of health and vitality for you and your family. This is Brian David Anderson, inventor of Trivortex technology products that assist in so many areas, such as pain relief, symptoms of menopause, losing weight, or stopping smoking. Trivortex technology is in harmony with the rhythms of nature.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Mentioned Ed before the break, you were talking about driver's licenses and, you know, what do I do with plates and this, that, and the other. And that reminded me, I pulled up a story today. It was actually out of the Chicago Tribune. And folks, you got to understand that once something is implemented, all the things that are attached to it. This story in the Chicago Tribune is talking about London, where they're putting in cameras. And they call the system, let me see that if I can pull it up, the Automatic Number Plate Recognition System. And a guy over there, the national coordinator for this, he says it will revolutionize policing. Well, yeah, they're touting that they busted a drug dealer. He had $180,000 in heroin in his car. But he passed one of these cameras, and it ran a database check, and it came up no insurance. Well, that is now a crime in England, and that can get you pulled over. Well, here again, you know, our United States Supreme Court has said that, well, if you're out in public, surveillance cameras, you have no expectations of privacy in a public arena. Now,
and that's true of United States citizens operating under territorial law.
And this is going to happen inside the United States. It's already happening right now in taxations. They're putting in systems that if you travel here in Texas, you're going to be metered by the mile, if you will. You're going to be taxed, whatever. This is allowing, once you enter into that contract, and it is a contract, and you can get out of it. You can call up your Department of Motor Vehicles or whatever they call it, Secretary of State in your respective state, and you can tell them that I want to rescind my driver's license, I want to get rid of it, and they'll accommodate you. But then you have to deal with a penalty. Now that you have no registration and no plates on your car, now you got to deal with the penalty that you're out there driving without a license. So it is a trap. It is coercion. It's a forced coercion into these contracts, and they're allowing this. And correct me if I'm wrong. Are they not doing this through the commerce clauses?
Well, they're doing it through commerce. But like I said, they had to redefine commerce to allow the feds to reach down into the states. And what the Supreme Court did to not totally screw everything up is they basically said, look, if you want to contract in this capacity with the United States government, which means the corporation, okay, not the republic, you have the right to do that. It has to be a voluntary act. But once you do that, you are absolutely bound to the terms of the contract. And that's where people really get hosed up on all this. I read Henry Metter a long time ago, back from 1869. Once you're in the contract, you can't assail its constitutionality. When you go before that tax court or whoever you're going for, the presumption is that you're a U.S. citizen operating within the U.S. community, very specific legal word there, and therefore all this stuff attaches to you. You don't have the right to travel, but you want to drive commercially. Now, in this state, well, in our republic here, our republic now has authorized the issuance of an identification plate, not a license plate. Okay, there is a public safety benefit to being able to identify a vehicle as it speeds away from, let's say, an accident or some other crime. So our republic is maintaining a database of the plates issued, who owns them, the make, model, serial number of the car. If the composite state operating out of Raleigh wants that information, they can ask us for it, and if they have reasonable cause to get it, we'll give it to them. Otherwise, they may not get it. It all depends on what their reason is. So there are solutions to all this, but you can't just step away, like we hope people will, and expect everything to be roses. They've put in a system to keep you within the system, you know, trying to get a bank account. But there's solutions if enough people will say, I'm not going to do it.
Well, and you're exactly right. As I described, there are penalties. Yeah, you can rescind your driver's license, but that friendly cop that is passing you on the highway that notices that you have no inspection stickers or expired plates or whatever the case may be, guess what? You're going to be talking to Johnny Law alongside the road somewhere. And I think what puts off a lot of people is they don't have the knowledge base to walk into a court. And this is, folks, this is a big step for a lot of people. A little bit of knowledge is dangerous. That's a true axiom.
Mm-hmm.
You can get yourself in a lot of trouble by fighting just traffic tickets or driver's license issues in court systems, because the assumption, here again, we're talking about the assumption that you need to be part of the system. This is what we have for public safety reasons, so on and so forth. There's a myriad of reasons they attach to their system. But when it comes down to it, you have the ability, according to the Constitution, of freedom of movement. Nobody can restrict your movements anywhere.
Unless you contract that right away by becoming a United States citizen and accepting the benefits under Social Security and other programs.
Well, as I said earlier, I mean, take a look at your check. You know, you see federal and state taxes, you see Social Security, you see this, that, and the other. When I got a Social Security number years ago, and of course I was 16 years old and I was just as brain dead as everybody else out there at that point. When I got that Social Security number, I was not explained that this is a contract. And it should be explained that way. There is supposed to be certain transparency and truth spoken in contract. And this is what they have not told people. And I'm just wondering how the effect would have been if they would have explained it exactly that way. Here is your driver's license. This is a contract. Here's your Social Security number. Oh, this is a contract. And again, what are they doing with the Social Security numbers? Well, folks, we know the story on that one. We got a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that diseased organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions, and there are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Yesterday, I was watching C-SPAN, and they were covering Alito's confirmation hearings. And Dianne Feinstein, Ed, asked the question about commerce. She was highly concerned that his views and opinions on the commerce clauses and the power that Washington, D.C. yields under that system, or wields, rather, I misspoke, wields under that system. And she was very, very interested. And, of course, this was the topical hot button, what the press will generally report on his position on Roe v. Wade, and on and on it goes. Well, here was the circuit court judge that was nominated. He seems to be, as far as Supreme Court judges go in the current era, he seems to be a very knowledgeable man. And it was interesting the way he was answering the questions to Feinstein. But all they had to do is just listen to the questions that are being asked. They fear that he may get in there and change some things that that they have set up. And he's going for the final seat here for the Supreme Court, and he's going to be a member of that court for life. It's going to be interesting to see how Alito, and I have no illusions that he's not going to be installed in the Supreme Court.
Which means he's been vetted and they know. We have kind of demonstrated over the last couple months by going into court and using this information at low levels, tiny little courts in the mountains of North Carolina, with, you know, the DA knows, and up in Detroit in a great big court, and the judge knows. So have no illusion that the elected officials of this corporate United States, at least after their several-week orientation, know that we're no longer in a republic, that things aren't what they thought they were probably before they came into office. So she speaks as a performance for the American, well, for the United States citizen. Okay? She's not really that worried. She's trying to make it look like she's taking care of her liberal supporters.
Well, it's a game that's rigged, and
big time.
Yeah, Ed, I look at this, and I don't know. Seriously, I mean, this is a serious observation here. I don't know whether it's going to be possible for people that want to extricate themselves from this system once they discover what it is and how they were finagled into it. I don't know that we're going to have enough people out there to get out of that system that is going to make a change. That is my well-founded fears.
Well, let me put that in a slightly convoluted perspective. The current system, monetary mostly, is collapsing. Gold's up over 550 again, okay? That system is collapsing anyway. They know it. A few Americans know it. Now, the question is, through education, can we teach enough people in this country to understand what law is, what its duties are, how government is supposed to function, that on the other side of this collapse, can we have an impact to not get more of the same? That's the real issue, John. The collapse is coming. It's preordained because of the currency that they gave us 70 years ago and finally took all the gold away by 1973, even in international changes. How many people in this country do you think realize that the oil embargo of 1973 was caused because Nixon said no more settlements in gold? Okay, that was 1973. He said, that's it. The gold's going out of the gold window too quick. National emergency, no more gold in international settlements. And the Arabs said, well, if you're not going to pay us in real money, we're not going to sell you any oil. That never came out, did it?
No, it didn't.
Okay, so until the American people who've been robbed of their intrinsic right to study the law since the Civil War, after the Civil War, the bar came along and said, we're going to take the education of law out of the schools because we want the people to be dependent on whom? The lawyers. We don't want them to understand what citizenship is, what your role or capacity is in relation to a government formed by the people, of the people, for the people.
Yeah, and again, you know, I'm talking about getting out of a system and being able to defend yourself and talk to them about jurisdiction and what power they have or they don't have over you. Well, the new one is, well, they can get you now for practicing law without a license.
Only applies to U.S. citizens. I am going to be in court next week. I've put a full brief together to say I'm here as legal counsel for the person I'm going in with. Because I'm not a U.S. citizen. She's not a U.S. citizen. Okay, I've got a 28-page brief showing that the practice of law is a occupation of common right. Now, they're not going to budge. I think they're going to say, you can't do that, but that's okay. We're going into federal court to sue three judges, a court, a clerk of court, etc. Now, in the book, we specifically say, look, we don't think you should go around terminating all these contracts because we don't think you're unless you're totally comfortable with it, don't do it. Unless you totally understand what you're getting involved with. What we want you to know as a basic primer is what is the state of legal affairs with respect to the government and the people today? And how did we get to this state? How did they redefine words? How did they redefine constitutional law cases to get us here? Because if you learn the truth, you just might get indignant enough to go up to your, you know, elected official, if you want to still call them that, and say, you know what, I'm mad as you know what, and I ain't going to take it no more. And then when everything collapses and they try another 1929, oh, you're hungry? We've got the solution for you, another federal program. No, 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 no. We went down that road once. We're not doing that anymore. That's the only hope we've got, John.
There is ample precedent, and precedents are important for one reason, in my estimation. You can have court cases set a precedent on it, and what you will have after that is judges ruling on that precedent. Now, whether it's correct, whether it's lawful or legal, whatever the case may be, it may not have been. But it doesn't stop these judges from going on these precedents that have been set. And when we take a look at some of what the Supreme Court, the original Supreme Court people, have said about this, or the reason why we came with the rights, you notice, folks, that you know, if you're to be arrested, they've got to tell you that you don't have to reveal anything; it'll be incriminating against you. You can maintain silence until you go get your mouthpiece. That's right, your lawyer. But in cases such as this, the Miranda ruling, they said in this that where rights secured by the Constitution are involved, there can be no rulemaking or legislation which would abrogate them. That's Miranda versus Arizona, 384 U.S. 436, page 491. Look it up and read it yourself. And what they are doing to us right now is they are violating our God-given right to freedom and liberty. This wasn't granted to us by government. And a lot of people are confused about that issue also. But when you take a look at this, and they're trying to do something that you know is absolutely wrong, that is absolutely, if your belief is that it's against the will of God or whatever, the Supreme Court judges, the earlier ones, have said that if this abrogates and walks away from the constitutional principles, it is of no effect. It is not law. Why is it that we're having such a problem here with the United States Supreme Court, which, by the way, ironically, in the last 10 years, they used to hear about 400 cases a year. Well, that number has been reduced by half, and they're expected to even take on fewer cases. But at what point are we going to be able, Ed, to walk into the United States Supreme Court and say, gentlemen, your commerce clauses, the UCCs, the this, the that, the other, you know, that's all fine. You a gaggle of lawyers set up a wonderful way to do business and enrich yourselves, but you're victimizing us. At what point are we going to be able to walk into this court and say, look, you people are in error? These courts, these federal district courts, the circuit courts, they are in error. These state courts,
they're not in error. The problem is, it's just like this, John. Let's say you had the most beautiful car collection in the world parked in your garage, okay? You're now Jay Leno for a day. And people come knock on your door and say, you know, I want your car collection. You're not good enough to have it. You're not entitled to have it. We're going to take it away from you. And you've got the government out there saying, hey, this is John's car collection. Nobody can have it. It's his. It's his private right. And then this shyster comes by, knocks on your door, and he's all dressed up real nice. Says, John, I want to make sure you never lose those cars. If you'll sign right here, I'll protect them for as long as you're alive and then some. And you go, wow, somebody's finally looking out for me. And you sign that piece of paper. You don't read it. This guy's told you he's going to protect your cars. What you just did is sign away your ownership to somebody else who's going to take your cars or maybe allow you to use them. And when the time comes, he's going to sell off those cars one at a time to pay the bills, etc. That's what the American people did. They went in, they got the Social Security number under 5 U.S.C. 552, capital A, subpart A, subpart 13. They said, I want to be federal personnel. It's defined. That's what it says. That's what they've agreed to. Now, if you've ever been in the military, you'll know the way the government treats its property. And it's not a happy thing. They give you shots. They make you do anything they want to do. Well, that's what we all did. We walked away from Miranda. We walked away all these other wonderful constitutional protections and said, I want to be able to eat in 1933. I want these government programs. And people didn't know what they had done to themselves.
Well, you're talking to one of the few individuals that I know of that actually quit the U.S. military. I said, I quit. And they said, you're joking. And I said, no, I'm not. And and I did quit.
Well, I know a lot of our listeners will understand what it's like to be federal personnel.
Yeah.
So who does the IRS tax code apply to? Federal employees. Well, guess who are federal employees? Anyone that has a Social Security number. You know, the domino effect. So until people understand what they have a right to complain about, the deception, how they got into this mess, they can't go ask the question of the bar or anyone else. And yes, the bar is one of the big evils perpetuating this problem. They can't go and say, hey, I want this fixed. The legislature goes, what fixed? Well, I want my rights. Well, you have your rights anytime you want them. I do, but he's not going to tell you how to get them, you know? So until we give people this foundational understanding, this floor upon which to build their new house of demanding their rights and understanding how they gave them away, all these platitudes about Supreme Court justices or Miranda or anything else are just that. They're of no legal consequence or effect because the people have contracted away those very same protections.
By the way, I just thought of something when you were talking about that.
Yeah.
Alito, the Supreme Court elect here, it looks like he's going to make it, was asked about following international law, making case law and reviewing foreign law as the Supreme Court has just done. Who did that? The one that's leaving the bench, the woman.
Sandra Day
O'Connor, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she did. And she was asked. He was asked that specific question, and he said no. He says, I think our tradition and law is sufficient. We don't have to depend. And I inserted my own words, the New World Order law, because, you know, that's what's going on. They eventually want an international body of law to have regulatory power over everybody and everything. Eventually, this will happen. They're instituting a piecemeal everywhere. Australia, England, it doesn't matter, in Europe.
And the United States government, that corporation, is in fact a member of the international community of states, very important use of that word, states, and has treaties to that effect. Okay, but that has nothing to do with the Union of States of America, except that the people have said, I want to participate within that corporation. This thing is so complex, John, that we're trying to break it down to say, here's the first step. After this, we know there's got to be a procedures book. There's already seven chapters written. Of how does a citizen of one of the several states who's only subject to the 17 enumerated powers in the original Constitution, how does he go into court? What court does he go into? How does he plead? Because let me tell you, the federal rules of civil procedure only apply in the federal territory. They don't apply to de jure several states.
But that's exactly what they've done. They've declared everything to be a federal enclave, have they not?
No. We're all blaming them. No, they haven't. The people have said, I will do this to myself through ignorance and deception. And that's why I've been so calm for the last 3 months, John, is it finally clicked in my brain. They're not that. I mean, they are evil, especially in 1933. But the beauty of it is they left you the out. All you got to do is take the red pill and walk out. Now, if they come after you, if they don't, you know, and one of the most powerful things you can say in court is, all right, judge, please expound on your legal theory that allows you to not accept my political self-choice to be a lawful citizen of the republic and not one of your U.S. citizens. There is, and we go into this in great length, there is not a court case. It's a political question. The courts can't even get close to it. But the problem is none of us have ever done it. We've all agreed to be a United States citizen contractually without understanding what that means and what it does to us.
We've got callers holding on, and as soon
I would
as we
think so.
As soon as we come out of break here, first one up is Pastor Jake Wade. This is actually the guy that married me, and guess what?
And how are you two getting along?
Did I make it sound as if I married him? No, he was the one that married us, I should say.
I understand.
At any rate, I don't have a marriage license. I don't seek permission from the state here. Yeah, married me, my wife. My producer's trying to straighten us out. Yeah, y'all know what I meant. Oh, leave me alone. Hey, we'll take the break here. Come back on the other side, and we'll take your calls. Hold on.
Do you desire your health and vitality to be in harmony with the rhythms of nature? Trivortex technology features subtle energy products that boost energy levels, relieve pain and stress, and much more at very affordable prices. You have the opportunity to wear vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that absorb through your skin rather than taking them orally. This is real, not science fiction. Go to trivortex.com, that is TRIVORTEX.com, to open a whole new realm of health and vitality for you and your family. This is Brian David Anderson, inventor of Trivortex technology products that assist in so many areas, such as pain relief, symptoms of menopause, losing weight, or stopping smoking. Trivortex technology is in harmony with the rhythms of nature.
The future of health and wellness is here, and a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
All right, we're back. Let's roll to the phones. Pastor Jake Wade, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing all right. I got a couple of things I'd like to quickly quip in. First of all, I just stood in God as God's representative to put you two guys in front of him. God did the marrying. It's too bad our society doesn't realize that's what happens biblically.
Right.
The I just got about 10 minutes of your program, and the reason I called is I am in a dead zone out here. I can't get FM. I cannot get shortwave. I cannot pick up you, Alex, Butch, Paul. I didn't realize that you were in a financial bind. I thought this thing was sliding along. My point is this. We need you. We need you on the air. And not being able to get it, I am probably one that realizes this more than anybody else, that this truth needs to be out there, and I haven't been able to get it. I just want to put in a – I know you haven't solicited this, and I saw you the other night for the first time in a little while. People, if there's anybody out there listening, we need to support this man and this project so that we can keep this kind of programming on the air and get the truth out. Otherwise, let's just flush the toilet and let everybody go home and say we're done.
Well, and that's exactly what's going to happen. You know, Jake, we should be further along than what we are. There's been a lot of people for a lot of years who've smelled the rat, have come out, been in the truth movement, and trying to get this thing going. But the ironic thing about this, and this has also happened with you, with your Little Red Schoolhouse. You people hear the ads on this network. I don't ask the pastor to pay me for those ads because why? Because the pastor himself is having financial difficulties. Even such, and Jake, I don't think you called in with the intent of talking about this, but I certainly will, that the people that you run schools, these are children that were not, they were cast out by the public schools as being non-teachable. Your graduation rate percentage with these rejects is astronomical. People come to you because you know how to get through to these children and you know how to teach them. And
during our lowest SAT in the last 11 years, since we've done this for 11 years, it's been 1,000. That's way above the national average.
Well, but here was my point. That you had to shut down the original Little Red Schoolhouse for lack of finances.
Right.
Well, the people got a little up in arms. They came back and they said, no, you need to keep this open. They made commitments. They let their commitments go. You had to shut the school down again.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm talking about. I mean,
sold another 20 acres this year to keep the thing open.
Well, and you're selling off all your worldly possessions. I mean, you're going to be down to the kitchen chairs next.
Right.
You know, but my point is that people are not supporting that which is trying to do the right thing. And folks, you know, I don't want to hear you bellyaching or crying anymore. The things are getting worse or they're getting, you know, my goodness, you know, look, we have no freedom left. On and on and on the list goes. The list of complaints are endless.
Well, but, I may amen your guess, but it's this kind of truth that you make available to the public. And, you know, the problem is, if we don't do anything about it, shame on us.
Well, you're trying. I'm trying. Ed Waller's trying.
And somebody needs to put a little fuel in the tank, right?
I'd rather be doing something else than working 12 hours a day to get this book ready to go to the publisher next week.
I heard that. I've done 11 of them, all about pretty much the same thing.
Well, you know, I've always said on the air, jokingly, of course, you know, all things being equal, I'd much rather be on a beach in Hawaii drinking one of those little drinks with a little umbrella in it. You know, I mean, who wouldn't want to? I mean, what we do, folks, is arduous. It is time-consuming, but it also taps the spirit. And I'll tell you what, Jake, just hang on a second. Come back after the top of the hour break here. Hour two of the National Intel Report coming up. Hopefully the frequency will be 5.050. 11915 was wiped out last hour. Sorry about that. We'll be right back.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. RBN.